नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारि निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्तापि वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभैर्व च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे सो वी ऑल हैव असेंबल्ड हियर टुडे टू सेलिब्रेट प्रभुपाद मेमोरियल फेस्टिवल in order to remember the glory of Srila Prabhupada, sing the glories of Srila Prabhupada, and become submerged in the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We are very fortunate to have two of Srila Prabhupada's very senior and dedicated disciples of Srila Prabhupada, His Grace Udayananda Prabhu and His Grace Vasudeva Prabhu. They have been devotees for over 45 years, and at a very young age they committed themselves to Srila Prabhupada's mission and been involved in serving Srila Prabhupada in various countries, in various services, mainly distributing Srila Prabhupada's books and propagating Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And so I will request His Grace Udayananda Prabhu to speak first. Udayananda Prabhu is from America, from Detroit. At the age of 19, he joined the movement, and since then he had been committed to serving Srila Prabhupada. And Udayananda Prabhu is a very dear friend of mine. We have a very intimate relationship. He has been a very committed book distributor. Those days, Udayananda Prabhu and his dear friend, Prabhosh Prabhu, who joined the movement together, they were childhood friends, they joined the movement together, and Prabhosh Prabhu especially was a legendary personality in the realm of book distribution those days. He was one of the top book distributors. And those days, book distribution was the most important service. That was the best way to please Srila Prabhupada. So I will request Udayananda Prabhu to speak from his own realizations and association of Srila Prabhupada and establish Srila Prabhupada's glory. And I'm sure everyone here will be delighted to hear from His Grace Udayananda Prabhu. Udayananda Prabhu, he is
a torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Holy Spirit. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pustaya Bhutanaya Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Bhutanaya Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pachari Nivisesha Sunyavani Pastor Chavasat.
Srila Prabhupada ki!
So, the first time I met Srila Prabhupada, probably like most of you out there, was getting one of Srila Prabhupada's transcendental literatures. Who first became exposed to Krishna consciousness by getting a book? Raise your hand. So, I got one book in 1972 called The Perfection of Yoga. And I also got a book from the same distributor, The Shrius Upanishad. And from that book, I've been studying different yoga philosophies. And when I read, after I got done with the Isha Upanishad, I realized that I found my spiritual master. So I took those same two books and I gave it to my best friend, Pragosh Das. And he also became a devotee from the very same two books. So from those books, they produced at least aspiring devotees working on it. But Pragosh and he is still distributing books 45 years later. He still goes out to Rockefeller Center in New York City every single day and distributes books. We actually calculated, I also did a little book distribution myself, and I was a sacred time leader in Detroit. And I calculated in my last 45 years, I've distributed 140,000 of Prabhupada's books. But Pragosh has distributed over 350,000 books. So between the two of us, like a half a million books, from just two books. These books are so potent that they change everyone's life. And Prabhupada has said that if they get a book and they read one sentence, one word, their life will become perfect. If they just touch the book, what to say if they read the entire book? So, that was Prabhupada's mercy on the planet Earth. We still need to continue with this book distribution. And Prabhupada, I was in Prabhupada's room. I was on the Radha Damodar party, and my leaders were Vishnu John Swami and Tamal Krishna Goswami. They're very dear to my heart. Hello? Okay. Okay. Oh, so there was this party that was originally formed by one of Prabhupada's oldest disciples, His Holiness Vishnu John Maharaj. So Vishnu John and Tamal Krishna Maharaj were best friends before they joined the movement. And they also came together. They were my older god brothers. And Vishnu John Maharaj had this gorgeous deities, brass deities of Radha and Damodar. And he put him on a bus, and he traveled all over the United States to college campuses, and would bring out the deities, and he would just sit there and chant Hare Krishna, and made hundreds of devotees. It was very, very powerful. And then, at that time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who is also a very dear friend of Guru Maharaj, of Sri Swami, he was in India. But then he came back in about 1974, 75, something like that. And something about Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was like a genius manager. And honestly,
He did so many things for Srila Prabhupada. I don't even want to go into it because I will waste my half hour. Not waste, but I'll take up at least a half hour. But, so he came back and the two of them joined together and they increased the one bus, to four buses. And we had 25 brahmacharis on each bus. And then we had vans. We would travel all over the United States and Canada. And we would massively distribute books. A little bit like fanatics. A little bit like, well, we like to consider ourselves the Green Beret of the Uska. Right? So, we would distribute these books. And one year, Tamal Krishna Maharaj spoke to Srila Brahma and said, I want to bring the whole Radha Damodar party to India. And Prabhupada said, yes, well then you have to distribute, and I can't even remember what the quota was, like a half a million books within like 8 months. So we went on an 8 month marathon to do that, and whatever the quota was, we did attain the quota. So, that year, that was the first year I came to India, it was 1976. They actually leased a 747, and the whole plane was filled with only Hare Krishna devotees. No, you were really good, Hare. Yeah. So, that was the first time, and I didn't even think it was a big deal. I thought every year, you would have a plane now. So we had this charter plane, and we had Mangal Aarti on it. We had Tulsi Puja. We had a photograph of Tulsi. We had Guru Puja. We had Srimad Bhagavatam. And when we were doing Guru Puja, we were actually jumping up and down in the plane. And the captain said, would you please stop jumping up and down? The plane is shaking. Maharaj just told me that was a historical plane that was the very first 747 that ever landed in Calcutta. And I was on that plane? Anyway, so all these boys, these brahmacharis, we were really Prabhupada's party because, you know, Prabhupada was the inspiration of everything. But we were sitting in Prabhupada's room, and we're all there, and I remember one of my godbrothers asked Srila Prabhupada a question. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, if we're out on Sankirtan distributing your books, will we go back to Godhead if we die on Sankirtan? Prabhupada looked at him and said, not necessarily. And we were like, what? All the air came out of the room. We were like suffocating. And there was this pause that Srila Prabhupada could do. He paused. It seemed like infinity. Probably just a minute or so. He says, but I will tell you this. And then he said, he lifted his finger up, and he said, if you dedicate your life to distributing my books, if you dedicate your entire life to distributing my books, I promise, and then he pointed up to the sky, I promise that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will personally come down and take you back home, back to Godhead, in the sky. And we went, how do we go? So, I'm banking on that. So, that was Prabhupada's mercy. And of course, see, the thing is about that point, it's very important. Like, Krishna, he's not bound by any kind of moral code, you know, like he says, I'm not going to do something. He's not bound to it. He might lie to you, right? Krishna's independent. But Krishna says, if I tell my devotee to tell you, just like he told Arjuna, declare it, you declare it, Arjuna, boldly, my devotee will never perish. So then it's firm, it's established, it's an axiomatic fact. So Prabhupada is like Arjuna. And he declared it. If you dedicate your life to distributing Srila Prabhupada's book, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will personally come down and take you back to Godhead in this very lifetime. So that was so I broke down a couple of pastimes that I had with Srila Prabhupada. I don't want to bore everyone, but I actually started going to the temple in 1972, and then I got initiated in August 1973, 4 months before Vasugopal signs is over Godhead. Don't forget that. No. Sannyas doesn't go. No, true. You're not a new man. Prabhupada said he is not a new man. He joined before us. Maharaj is probably with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let's be honest here. Okay, so I moved in, I got initiated. I actually got initiated by mail, and one of the sannyasins took my fire job for my first initiation. I didn't even see Srila Prabhupada for a year and a half after I was a devotee. I'd been distributing his books every single day for a year and a half, and I never even saw him. Of course, we all see him in the temple, but I didn't see his Bapu most of the days. And the first time I actually saw him was when I was getting second initiation at the temple that Vasu Ghosh joined in Chicago. Vasu Ghosh had already left, though. And he went there for the Bhagavad, first Bhagavad. Okay, his misfortune. But his fortune, he came to Bhagavad Vasu. I can say this because he's like my little brother. So, back then I was a little bit more stout. You can ask Vasu Ghosh. The problem, the Chico Binda, the temple president, asked me to be Srila Prabhupada's bodyguard. So I said, well, what do I do? Well, and he goes, and says, if anyone gets in Prabhupada's way, you take him out. I said, okay, I'll be honest with him. So I was driving to the airport to see Srila Prabhupada. And we got caught in Chicago traffic, which was pretty harsh. And I had like 5 Brahmacharis with me. I was driving a van, one of those Dodge vans. But I was kind of going very fast, like I was in India or something. I was even driving like I was in India. I was going out on the show. It was like black traffic, so I drove on the side of the road. You know the whole thing, right? So anyways, when I finally got there, I just parked the van in front of the airport in the parking zone. We all jumped out, and we just started to run to the airport. And we didn't even know what was flight number. I didn't even know it was in the right terminal. But I could hear something. I could hear something in the distance. It was this ching, 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 ching. So I just ran in that direction, like a madman. I was just going to the airport. People were like, what's this bald guy doing? And we're running, and all these brahmacharis run behind me. And as I was going down the corridor, I turned one hallway, and I run down, and it got louder and louder. And there was about 250 or 300 devotees in the airport with about 10 mardangas, 20 cartoons. It was like a nuclear bomb, a transcendental nuclear bomb had been exploded. And as I finally came down the last corridor, this ocean of saffron and devotees were just shouting
leaping out of their skin, just like our kirtans, leaping out of their skin. And they, I could see everyone was looking at one point. And in the middle of that beautiful assembly of devotees, there was his divine grace, Asa Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada. And that was the first time I saw him in that airport. And I paid my kanda bucks right in the airport. And when I got up, he was walking right towards me. And I, the first thing I thought was, wow, he looks just like his picture. That was the first thing. And I was so stunned. And he was so regal. Srila Prabhupada would walk. He was just like this, otherworldly, aristocratic. It's like no other person ever walked. No one. It was just, he didn't even say anything to me. He just was walking, and he was smiling. And so I, Vidyananda Maharaj was there, and I went up and I said, Maharaj, I'm Prabhupada's bodyguard. I gotta be next to him. He said, all right. So I was this close. This close is from the Prabhupada. And I was like dumbfounded. My mind was blank. I was like stunned. And all I wanted to do was just look at Prabhupada. And then Srila Vinda comes up, hey, you're supposed to be his bodyguard. Anyways, so Prabhupada left me. The airport went back to the temple, and then all of a sudden we realized every single devotee had left and gone to the airport to look for Jarvis. And there was no one to greet Prabhupada. So I got back in my van, went 100 miles an hour. Don't do this, brahmacharis, don't do it. And with my 5 brahmacharis, we got there just as Prabhupada was turning the corner. Oh, and by the way, when Prabhupada came, Krishna loves his pure devotees so much that whenever a dignitary comes, you know, and shows up at the airport, they show up with a big car, right? A limousine of some sort. So Prabhupada also had a limousine. He had a Ford Lincoln Continental. Big stretch. Yeah, stretch Ford Lincoln Continental. But not only did he have a Ford Lincoln Continental, but his driver was Mr. Ford himself. Ambrish was Prabhupada's driver. So everyone's buying cars from Ford, but Mr. Ford is driving for Srila Prabhupada. So we got there, and then Prabhupada pulled up, and I started one of my ridiculous kirtans, but was enthusiastic, and Prabhupada smiled at me, and I was totally ecstatic. So then Prabhupada went in, and I got to stand outside of Prabhupada's door. So what they did is, and Vashu Kosha will appreciate this, the Chicago Temple used to be a YMCA. Okay. Remember the swimming pool? We used to sleep in the swimming pool. It was empty, of course. It was an indoor pool, and there was all these rooms that were converted. It was actually a pretty nice facility. I love that temple, by the way. Anyways, so they had taken, you know the door, the front door you walk in, and then there was a door that goes directly to the Brahmacharya Ashram? Okay, so you walk in, that first room was told, you know that first room, there was a separate, there was a big room, then on the side there was another room. Well, they converted that to Srila Prabhupada's quarters. Prabhupada stays, it will refuse to stay outside. He said, I'm going to live in the temple. So we made this room, I mean, in Gokadana, Detroit, just really decorated, very nice. And we actually brought Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Sun from Detroit. And it was this magnificent, gigantic, you know, it was pink, huge sun, gold. It was very, very, very beautiful. And that was in Prabhupada's quarter. And so Prabhupada came in, and everything he did was just intoxicating. You know, I mean, Prabhupada would just sit down, and then he would start taking prasadam. and thrown it in the sodomite's mouth. And it's like, to me, it was like missile power. And Prabhupada drank his glass. And I was just, you know, I was a young kid. So, but it was just so amazing to see Srila Prabhupada and doing whatever. And Sudama Maharaj was serving Prabhupada very nicely. I remember this. And so the next day, so a few things happened, but I won't go into everything. But Prabhupada was giving initiations, and I was giving, I actually got my second initiation directly from Srila Prabhupada. And at that time, Prabhupada would let us, each candidate would go into Srila Prabhupada's room, and then we'd bow before Srila Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada would give us the mantra. So, you know, you can well imagine the nervousness I had to be, you know, in front of the spiritual master of the entire universe, Uttama Adhikari, Mahabhagwa, Nitya Siddha. And I'm actually terrified. You know, I'm just like my brain stopped operating. You know, I have a scholarship to Brown University, which was an Ivy League school, but I couldn't pass kindergarten at that point. My brain was just frozen. But anyway, I walked into Srila Prabhupada's room, and Sudama Maharaj was very good. He's a very good servant. He was like Bhakti Chuswami, but not quite as good. But at any rate, he had everything very nicely laid out, and Prabhupada was sitting on this vyasasa from Detroit. Very big vyasasa. And all the lights were very low, and Sudama had these two pots of frankincense and myrrh burning thick, like huge billows, clouds, right? And so I came into Prabhupada's room, I offered my invitation, I looked up, and it looked like Prabhupada, he was sitting very straight, and it looked like he was floating in the clouds. And I was just like in total bewilderment. And Prabhupada said, come close. And so I crawled up to him. He said, give me your right hand. And you know, like everything he would say, I go, what's proof my right? I was so nervous. So he took my hand, and he actually took my thumb, and he put it on, he says, see this digit? This is number one. And then to here, to here, to here, to here. And he was, and all I could think is, I'm being touched by a pure devotee. So then Prabhupada gave this, he gave me the mantra, and then he said, so, are you preaching? He said, are you chanting 16 rounds? That's the first thing he actually said. Are you chanting 16 rounds? I said, yes, you will, Prabhupada. And then he said, and are you preaching Krishna consciousness? I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, I'm the sankirtan leader in Detroit. And then Prabhupada went like this. Always preach Krishna consciousness. Like a declaration. And I took that as, you know, the only instruction. He gave me a couple other instructions, but that was the main instruction. So I was like, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And then he went, oh, like that. And then I was thinking, in my mind, I was thinking, how many millions and billions of births have I had to undergo to where I am finally in front of a Mahabhagavat, pure devotee, spiritual master of the universe? When does this occurrence happen? Because at least I had a little bit of that understanding. And I thought, I can't waste this opportunity. I have to find out something or do something deep and meaningful at this point. So Prabhupada, I offered my obeisances, and then I worked up the nerve, and I said, Srila Prabhupada? And he went, yes. And then I said, can I touch your lotus feet? And as soon as I said the words, I went, oh, Krishna, did I just say that? It was so audacious. And my godmothers, Vaishya Sika and Surdas, were outside the room. And when I told them I said that to them, they said,
Buddha, you are such a dork. No one says that. Anyways, I said it to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked at me and smiled and said, that is not necessary. And I went, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And I bowed down, and I was so embarrassed, and I was also very fried. And I'll tell you why. Because when I first joined the movement, we didn't have Guru Puja. It didn't start until like in the about 1974. So, but when Guru Puja started, I just loved Guru Puja. It is, and it always will be my favorite part of the morning program. I love Guru Puja. So, and especially the translations, right? Shikuru Charana Pagan, Kevala Bhakti Sadhana. The lotus feet of our spiritual master are the only way we can attain pure devotional service. I bow down to those lotus feet with great awe and reverence. By His grace, one can cross the ocean of material suffering and attain the mercy of Krishna. Just imagine what that prayer is saying. Those lotus feet. So my mind, all I could see was Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And I thought, I need the dust of those lotus feet. I need to touch those lotus feet. But now I asked him, and he said, it's not necessary. So, anyways, because he and Prabhupada's bar, every time Prabhupada would walk out of his room, I'd offer my obeisances, and his lotus foot would come right by my face. And then he'd walk. So, anyways, I didn't get to touch his lotus feet at that time. But, moving forward, that was in 1974. In 1977, I was in Srila Prabhupada's room in October, 1977, early November, I was there also. And I was sitting, and of course I felt very fortunate, I was sitting at Prabhupada's feet, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was massaging Prabhupada's head, Bhakti Chiraswami was massaging his arm, and Rupendra Prabhuji was massaging the other arm, and we were there, and Prabhupada was just so wonderful, so just inconceivable, so merciful, so humble. He was just melting everyone's heart like anything. And so I was sitting there, and I was thinking, wow, here I am. And it was kind of like, it's like Gold Kumar. You know, all of this Malecha, all of a sudden end up in the Bhagavad. You know, Gold Kumar, he's like Indra, then he's Brahma. You know, he's in Dwarka. And so, like, all of a sudden, I'm here, and Sri Vrindavan Dham. And at the most sacred place of Krishna Balaram Mandir, at the lotus feet of the spiritual master of the universe, Srila Prabhupada. And I'm thinking, how did this happen? Right? And I said, well, however it happened, I'm not going to even figure it out, but I'm here. And I'm sitting there, I'm chanting japa, and Prabhupada's giving instruction. A couple times they asked me to go get something. They asked me to get out of the room. But I look over, and Trivikram Swami is sitting at Srila Prabhupada's feet. And I knew Maharaj. I knew him for about a year ago, 1976. And so we were friendly. And he is massaging Prabhupada's feet. And I was in that room for like 4 hours. So, and I was watching Maharaj. And he was massaging his feet, and then he would rub Prabhupada's calves, and then he came back and rubbed his feet, and he just did that, like, for an hour. I'm just watching him mock massage. And then every now and then, he would take his head and put it right on Prabhupada's feet. And I thought, this
person is so fortunate. And then a really envious thought came into my head, and I thought, no, I don't think so. And I was thinking, you know, that Prabhupada is known as Bhaktisiddhanta also. And he is a deliverer of the most fallen. And there is no one more fallen than me, guaranteed. So I was sitting there and I was thinking, you know, Maharaj is actually quite advanced. He's a sannyasi. And he really doesn't need this mercy as bad as I do. So, and I thought, no, because if you dare venture like that, you'll get thrown out of Prabhupada's room. So I'm thinking that I'm chanting, and finally a miracle happened. I looked at Maharaj, and he yawned. And immediately I had my opening. And I went to him very humbly and said, Maharaj, you look like you're tired. I was wondering if it would be okay, if you don't mind, if maybe, possibly, I massage you, Prabhupada's feet. And he turned, and Sri Krishna Swami can be kind of heavy. He can, and back then he was worse. So, we all know what that means. And he turned, he looked at me, and he goes, okay. And my heart was about to burst, right? So I crawled over, and he showed me exactly how to massage Prabhupada's feet, and go up and down, be very gentle, because Prabhupada was almost no muscle. Anyway, but his feet were definitely both his feet. And so I got to massage Prabhupada's feet for 2 hours. And I got to put Prabhupada's feet right on my head. So, Srila Prabhupada ki! And at one point, Prabhupada looked down after about an hour I was massaging, because Prabhupada was actually so sick, he was losing his eyesight, and he couldn't even see to the bottom of the bed. And he said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, who is this massaging my feet? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, oh, it's Udayananda from Detroit. And then Prabhupada smiled and said, oh, all the hairs in my body stood up. So that's how Prabhupada, reciprocates. I just wanted to touch his feet, right? But he let me massage them for hours. And every day I got to go into his room for 2 weeks and massage Prabhupada's feet. So that's how Krishna reciprocates. Jayatam Amprabhojante, comes the time of the Jamina. As you surrender, then he reciprocates. He loves you much greater than you can love him. I'm going to skip ahead. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you 2 pastimes real quick, and then forgive me for offending everyone being up on the sea. But I'll tell you this one pastime because it's very ecstatic and very informative. So in 1976, there was a Ram Navami ceremony, and we were in Sri Vrindavan Dham, and I just happened to be able to go on the morning walk with Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada came to our teak that day, and there was 500 devotees, and we were dancing out of our minds. Prabhupada used to go like this, to keep dancing. So, we were dancing, and Prabhupada, afterwards, he went in, and I kind of was just hanging outside of Prabhupada's room, just peeking in his windows. And Prabhupada was chanting, and then he went on his morning walk, and Prabhupada walked for about an hour and a half, very long walk, and said so many things on the walk. But then when we came back, there was this unbelievable Guru Puja, and I actually saw Prabhupada kind of go into like a samadhi trance during the kirtan. And then after Prabhupada gave this class,
that only if your heart is made of steel, it would not melt your heart. So then after that, Prabhupada went into his quarters, and they had lined up the whole day, like the governor of Uttar Pradesh, all these ministers, very influential people throughout India had come to see Srila Prabhupada. And I was, you know, they'd go into Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada was preaching like a lion. And it was just incredible. It was astounding. He had timeless energy. It was mesmerizing to see Srila Prabhupada preach like that. And he preached all day long like that until the evening. And then in the evening, we went to Mathura and to Krishna's birthplace, where they had set up a pandal, and there was 20,000 people there to hear Srila Prabhupada preach. And Prabhupada, he actually apologized to his English-speaking devotees. He said, "I am very sorry, I apologize to all my disciples, who have come so far." I mean, it's unbelievable, but I mean, Prabhupada, they have come so far to see me, but I'm going to give this lecture in Hindi because there's so many people out here that do not speak English. So forgive me. And we're all in a state of disbelief and shock that Prabhupada, in all of his glory, would speak to us lowlifes. Of course, my God was one lowlife that I am. And so, when Prabhupada gave the lecture, as he gave the lecture, he would quote different shlokas from the Bhagavad Gita into the Bhagavatam. So you could almost understand what he would, you know, the thing. But as I was sitting there, I was looking around, and I was totally amazed. Because as I looked in the crowd of devotees, and there was like 500 or 600 devotees, and then there was 20,000 people, and there were German devotees, and they had their whole group, chanting group, and then there was British devotees, and they had their group, and then there was devotees from South America, and they had their group, and all over the world, and of course the Americans had the Los Angeles Temple, the Chicago Temple, the New York Temple, the Radha Damodar Party. And I was thinking, Srila Prabhupada, you did it. You did what Bhakti Vinod Thakur, when will that day be on when the English and the German and the American devotees with the Vaishnavas of India chant Gaur Jai Sachinandana Gaur Hari. And there it was, Prabhupada was getting us Jai Sachinandana Gaur Hari. And I was like, wow, you've done it. You've completed it all. You don't have to do anything else. You've done it all. You have spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and we're all here at your feet. And you're preaching to 20,000 people. You know, you can relax now. That was in my mind. I was thinking like this. So Prabhupada preached, and, okay, because this is important. Prabhupada, then when we left, it was almost midnight. And we got back, everyone was exhausted. And we were in full Golashram. And I didn't feel well, so I decided to get up and chant some japa. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And everyone was asleep. And when I went into the temple, I started circumambulating Krishna Balaram temple. And I saw a light, and in there sat his divine grace translating the Srimad Bhagavatam. He had less than 2 hours sleep for certain. And he was Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says. And I was like shocked. There was no fanfare. There was no purpose except to save all of you out here and myself from this cycle. Prabhupada was sitting there without any sleep translating Srimad Bhagavatam. So I humbly request all of you to serve Srila Prabhupada in the best way by surrendering to Prabhupada's dearest disciples and leaders of our movement, like Bhakti Chiru Swami, Bhashu Ghosh Prabhu, and both our Maharajas here. You surrender to their instruction, push on this movement, and Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya himself will come down and take you personally back home to God. Thank you.
Bhashu Ghosh Prabhu, as I mentioned earlier, he joined at the age of 17, just a young boy. He left everything, and since then he has been completely committed. And not only committed, he actually committed himself to serving Srila Prabhupada in India. And what a remarkable way to serve, not only for so many years, but he mastered so many Indian languages. And he is completely immersed in the Indian culture. And he is an upholder of Vedic culture, I think, more than any one of us. And we are indeed very proud to have such a wonderful servant of Srila Prabhupada in our midst. Bhashu Ghosh Prabhu doesn't stay very far away from here. He is a temple president of Baroda, and he has committed himself in that service for so many years. And and today I would say that today I am having some opportunity to serve together with Bhashu Ghosh Prabhu in Baroda. Bhashu Ghosh Prabhu ki jai.
This is going to be a very hard act to follow, because Dayananda Prabhu is really fired up. Angrezi mein bolna hai, Hindi mein bolna hai, my lord. Okay, I've been ordered to. Right. Boy, what to say? I also had a similar type of beginning in ISKCON as Udayananda Prabhu. I got initiated by a letter. I didn't see Prabhupada in the United States at all. Never. He remembers Udayananda Prabhu and I met between the Guru Puja and the Bhagavatam lecture. And he remembers my pre-initiated. Actually, I remembered Prabhosh before he was initiated. The name. I don't remember it now. Maybe both of you that. Were you both initiated together? Or? We got afterwards. Okay. Yeah, we got initiated by post. Even the second initiation, I got by post. The first time I saw Prabhupada was the day I arrived in Bombay. That was in February 1974. Although we may argue about that, but I'm pretty sure. I know when I came. And it was a funny thing that, you know, I didn't know where Prabhupada was, but I caught the morning flight from Chicago to New York. And I went to the Brooklyn Temple first and last time. I spent one day during the day, and I met a slew of different devotees. I took public transportation from the airport to the temple and back. Well, I came from, before the Manhattan, Henry Street in Brooklyn. I took a train, whatever local transportation, and I knew some of the devotees who had come through Chicago. My friend, who's no more, Lokamangala. Boy, I really had a real affectionate relationship with him. Poor man. Later on, he lived in Los Angeles. Vrindavan Das, who lived in Chicago. I cannot remember if he was there at that time. Mangalananda is still around. I met him, Jai Sachinandan. And then I said, well, how do I find out where is Prabhupada? They said, go meet Harikesh, a name that we may not talk too much about, but who was quite close to Prabhupada at the time. Said, Prabhupada is in Vrindavan. And the flight was Air India, New York, London, Paris, Rome, Beirut, Delhi, and Bombay. And I wanted to get down in Delhi to go to Vrindavan to see Prabhupada, but my bags were checked in Bombay, and I got down, they actually let me down, I said, I want to at least make a phone call. But I couldn't find the telephone number for Vrindavan. And when I got down in Bombay, I was able to call the temple. And Sridhar, the late Sridhar Swami, had a beard like I have today, picked me up and took me to the temple. Kishore picked up the phone. He's still around. British. You know him. British Kishore. Prabhupada came the next day. My first darshan of Prabhupada was in the Bombay airport. At that time, Satsuru Maharaj, by the way, in the beginning of, unfortunately, because I didn't have proper sleep, I was dozing off during your talk, excuse me, I beg forgiveness. But at the beginning I did hear, talking about ISKCON in the 1970s, and there's a very good book called ISKCON in the 1970s, I think, Bamsidari Prabhu, you have a copy, by Satsuru. It was diaries he kept, and of the times. So if you want to know about ISKCON in the United States in the 1970s, because he wrote it down at that time, it's kind of like Harishori's transcendental. Harishori, give that man a heck of a lot of credit for having the presence of mind to record every day his experiences with Prabhupada. So, it's such a living record. I've read four of those, I think. How many of them? Six. Five or six, anyway. ISKCON in the 1970s in the United States was a very exciting period. My 1 year there was nothing. And Prabhupada was able to attract Western youth, not only in the United States, in Europe, Australia. Later on, after Prabhupada disappeared, the ball is still rolling. I mean, the snowball. ISKCON did very well in different places. There have been setbacks, but if you look at the overall picture, Prabhupada's mission was a great success, as Udayananda Prabhu said. This is just one proof of that success. How many people have come here for this program? So Prabhupada was in Juhu. There was a little shed that we know here in India, like the Goshala. It's called asbestos cement. Actually, there's practically no asbestos there. It's just cement sheets and iron. And there he had put Radha Rasa Bihari in that shed. The government tried to break it down. One municipal cooperator brought some government people. That was before I came. That was a different time. And 10 days, Prabhupada stayed, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there. It was 2 months later that he left India. In May of 1974, he had to have a hernia operation, and on that excuse, Prabhupada didn't want him to go. It's a fact. What anyone says, whatever you might hear, Prabhupada had trusted Tamal Krishna Maharaj more than almost anyone. At the very end, total trust. And he had that acumen, managerial acumen. He learned Indian culture. He took sannyas in Jaipur. He lived in India, managed his Iskcon temples. So he was the GBC. And we were living in a hut in what is now, I guess, there's a little garden in front of the new extension. And it was terrible. The prasadam was terrible. There were rats everywhere. But Prabhupada had a lecture. He would go on a morning walk. He would give a lecture. I think the lectures were in the evening, as I recall. And he would push prasad into everyone's hand. I remember how he distributed prasad. Push. And there was halava every day. And as I recall, it was whole wheat halava. Atta halava. At that time, I can't remember what the lectures were, but they were ecstatic, of course. Satswarup was the secretary and the servant. He was cooking for Prabhupada, and he was giving him a massage and taking care of his correspondence. The only other person in the entourage was Pradyumna, Panditji. And so Satswarup knew me from Chicago. He was the GBC member for Chicago. So he asked me to wash the cooking pots. He cooked for Prabhupada these tiny, tiny pots. I was washing in the afternoon. Part of the fun of that was that at 4 o'clock, Prabhupada used to meet guests. They called it the darshan period. So I sat in that. So I got to hear Prabhupada interacting with the different people. And one day, while I was washing the pots, suddenly Prabhupada opened the door very briskly. And I was absorbed in washing the pots, and he got angry. Can't you hear someone is at the door? I didn't hear anything. But there's Sister Don answered the door. He was only wearing a kurta, as I recall. And I answered the door, sure enough, the devotee was there at the door. So I had some mercy like that, plus the prasad. I never got the foot massage mercy for some reason. You did how many books? I didn't do that many books. By miles and miles. So some special mercy you got there. But I was on some of those morning walks. Then we went to Mayapur. Prabhupada went to Mayapur. Then that was when the Chaitanya Charitamrita first, the hardbound publication came. And Prabhupada was lecturing on Chaitanya Charitamrita in Mayapur. So I remember that. I remember everyone was sick in Mayapur also, the prasadam there was also, like Bombay. Those weren't the days of good prasad. Oh boy. Then we went to Vrindavan. We stayed in the, what you call Fogel, but what's actually Fogla ashram. It's okay. Everyone calls it Fogel. And opposite the Fogla ashram, there was a 24-hour kirtan. Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Jai Sita Ram. So Prabhupada in his lectures was saying, you've come to Vrindavan, just try and understand Radha and Krishna. Because Vrindavan is for Krishna people. And then Prabhupada in Vrindavan made a surprise announcement or surprise instruction. 400 devotees had come from all over the world. So he said he wanted half of them to go to Mayapur to learn Varnashram Dharma. And half would come to Bombay, where the sheriff of Bombay, now the sheriff of Bombay was an honorary post with no power, but it was left over from the British Raj. And different persons who were to be honored by the government, but the government didn't, you know, they were old retired politicians like the governors. Although governor of India, of a state in India, in the case the local government for whatever reason cannot function, he takes over. But the sheriff of Bombay never takes over anything. I don't even think they have it anymore. It might have been abolished. So the sheriff of Bombay had written a letter that the kirtan, a Jew who was a nuisance. There was a local politician who later on at the end regretted his behavior. Kind of like Bhanmanga. Prabhupada had a godbrother, Bhakti Vridhai Bhanmanga, who was criticized by Bhakti Siddhanta, but at the very end he came to Prabhupada's disappearance and praised Prabhupada like anything. And Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj told me he regretted his previous whatever. Anyway, this politician was, he wanted to get ISKCON. He's the one who arranged for the demolition of the temple, which was 1972, I think. So he got the sheriff to make this decree. The kirtan is a nuisance. So Prabhupada planned this civil disobedience. Every morning there would be a kirtan. So there was 150 devotees that went in the Juhu area. This is in the end of March 1974. So that was 10 days. So I was on the list to go to Mayapur, but in Mayapur I had joined with the Chutananda Swami. I joined his party. Long story. So with him I went to Bombay. He said, yeah, come to Bombay. He was one of the senior most devotees who had joined 26 Second Avenue. And he was one of the first sannyasis in this country. After 10 days he put me in the train to Hyderabad, which was his headquarters at the time. I didn't know Prabhupada came to Hyderabad for a 5-day public program. Thousands of people. There was no public program in Calcutta or Bombay that year, 74. But Hyderabad, 5-day public program. One thing I recall, we had lunch in a rich man's house. That rich man is 88 years old today. Or 89, Hari Prasad Padrukha. But unfortunately, the story is not a pleasant one because he gave Prabhupada 565 acres of land and took it back. Except for 50 acres. So ISKCON has a farm in Hyderabad of those 50 acres. Hari Prasad is still there, amazingly. We had Prasad there with Prabhupada. We all sat on the floor. Prabhupada sat on a small asana. And I remember when Prabhupada got up after taking prasada, there was a mad dash by all the devotees. I didn't know this. You know, I was only 18 years old. I hadn't been in Prabhupada's presence for the, you know, leftovers from Prabhupada. Prabhupada's prasada. It was interesting. Boy. And then we got in this matador van. They don't even have, you hardly see a few goods vehicles. Some people in some smaller cities, they stopped producing these vehicles 20 years ago, whatever. So we rented 16 passenger van, and Achyutananda Swami, Akshayananda Swami, Panchakravita Swami, Mahamsatva. We went by road from Hyderabad to Tirupati. Prabhupada flew. And we spent 3 days with Prabhupada in Tirupati. There's a video clip. It's not a video, it was a movie clip of Prabhupada and Tirupati. And I'm there in that clip at the end of the group of walking after Prabhupada. Prabhupada bowed down in front of Balaji. They closed the line. The minister of endowments was ex-king. Sadhi Surya Narayan Raju was a king of Vijayanagara near Vishakhapatnam. And he was the minister in the Congress government Andhra Pradesh for the charitable endowments, the temples. And he personally welcomed Prabhupada at Tirupati. And the kind of prasad they brought was amazing. And Prabhupada gave lectures in a building that doesn't exist anymore. It was broken down. And many times they took us and stopped the queue. Tirupati has a famous queue. In those days, you know, it was 8 to 10 hours you would stand to have a darshan for a moment of Balaji. And they stopped the queue and Prabhupada bowed down fully. So 1974, Prabhupada was what, 78 years old? Maybe it was before he turned 78, 77, completed 78 running. Still he was elderly. Full shashtanga dandavat. And he said, Govindamali Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, just like you hear on the tape. And then Prabhupada said, Balaji means Bal Krishna. He told us. So I remember this. I don't remember a lot of years ago, a long time back. And after Tirupati, Prabhupada went abroad. And we didn't see Prabhupada again in 74. 75, I didn't go to Mayapur for the festival because 150 devotees from Mayapur came to Hyderabad for Prabhupada's 5-day program right before the opening of Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan. And there were 10,000 people came every day for Prabhupada's lectures. 10,000. There was a student hostel by this Reddy community, you might have heard of Reddys. They're farmers, like Patels. And they had a student hostel which was walking distance from ISKCON, Hyderabad. So we could walk, walking distance, 15 minutes, about a kilometer. And Prabhupada's lectures were very powerful, and of all the instructions I remember was Prabhupada telling the crowd, please don't give up your culture. Please don't give up your culture. So Prabhupada was propagating Indian culture, and anyone who argues against that is not really a good follower of Prabhupada. Even though it's going on. It's misguided, misdirected, whatever. Prabhupada was for Indian culture. He was begging the people. Later on, if I skip ahead, because the time is running, this is a year later almost, 10 months, this was January 76, Nellore, 160 kilometers north of Chennai, Madras. And at the reception, I actually went ahead a day early just to check the arrangements. Because we had had a program a year earlier, January 75, of Chittananda's program. And so Prabhupada got off the train, a 3-hour train ride. And there were hundreds of these, you know, girls with the coconuts on the head as a ceremony and reception. The Nadaswarams, which is Chennai in North India, only longer. And the Brahmins chanting Veda mantras. And seeing this, Prabhupada turned to the group of disciples who had accompanied, who came to, you know, came with him and said that Vedic culture is more intact in South India. He remarked like that. Actually, if we study carefully, we'll see that Vedic culture is all over India in different ways. But, it's a funny thing, you know. Anyway, there are many
impressions. Then we went on a walk in Nellore every day with Prabhupada, and unfortunately those were recorded. That was fortunate, but the tapes were lost in transit. Harishori people posted them to Los Angeles, and then all those 5 days, morning walk tapes were gone, unfortunately. But in the beginning, Prabhupada stayed in the home of these two sisters who were wealthy from this Reddy community. And they kept chickens in the back of the house. Not ordinary chickens, Chinese hens. So as we walked with Prabhupada next to this pen, it's called a pen in English, a cage, with the chickens, Prabhupada said that in Bengal, people take the eggs of these chickens, boil them, and eat them with rice. He said, these chickens here means these people are not vegetarians. From today, we cannot eat the food that they cook. You disciples have to cook for me. And there was a variety of things we talked on the morning walk. That was 76 January. In Chennai, I walked with Prabhupada a couple days earlier. And the late Baba Bhuti, I don't know if you knew him, you of course knew him, told Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, the Gaudiya Mutt sannyasis are saying that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted, why he didn't go to the West? And Prabhupada, his reply was, because he wanted me to go. Now, 2 days of lectures in Chennai, and Baba Bhuti and Shravanananda, who's now in Washington D.C., they had running a small center in a rented place. Let's see now. 76 Mayapur. Prabhupada was in Mayapur, became. I remember a big sannyas ceremony. Right? At that time, Hansadutta, Jagat Guru, there were like 6 people. Drishtadyumna, Adi Keshava, 5 or 6 devotees took sannyas. From France, the French preacher. Preacher Putra. I remember one small incident of being in the room with Prabhupada, and there was a discussion, and someone was arguing with Prabhupada. There were quite 10, 15 people in the room. Some guest was arguing. And I interjected. And I said, if you want to learn from Prabhupada, you have to hear submissively. And he never chastised me, why did you speak? He kept on. He appreciated it. I took it as an appreciation. Boy, what else do I remember from that? Mayapur festival. What happened after Mayapur? No, he went abroad. And then Bombay. I had gone with a god brother who I'd rather not remember, but Richaraj. And we went to Dubai and Bahrain. We collected money for a Hyderabad temple. And we came to Bombay back, returned. It was end of August. The Hyderabad temple open was scheduled for Janmashtami 1976. And Prabhupada was coming. Ultimately, I myself flew with Prabhupada from Bombay to Hyderabad. Harikesh, Harishori, Richaraj, and myself. 5 of us. And the Hyderabad temple opening was a grand event. And the chief minister, this was, only us old people. Anyone who's 50 years old and older will remember the emergency that Indira Gandhi, how many people here know about the emergency? Yeah. Few. What happened was that in 1975, I think it was June 75, Indira Gandhi was the Prime Minister of India. She proclaimed internal disturbance and she clamped emergency nationwide and arrested all the political opposition and put them in jail. So it was a tense time. And this continued for almost 2 years, a year and three quarters. But so in the middle of that period, the Hyderabad temple was opening. All the trains ran on time was the joke. You know, everyone was afraid of the government because the government had taken very strict disciplinary action to run the country. Even though there was no real reason for emergency. But anyway, some people praised it later on. Some people, you know, the political opposition was unhappy. And then she called an election and she lost the election. Popular sentiment went against her. But the chief minister had promised to come and then at the last minute he said he wouldn't come. He was afraid, you know, the emergency. But lucky there was one ex-ambassador of India to Somalia, of all countries, who was a life member and he persuaded the chief minister to attend. He used his, you know, stature to convince the CM. And the chief minister came. And Prabhupada was there. This is my moment of glory with Prabhupada. They made a quarters for Prabhupada above the Hyderabad temple, which is now renovated. It's very beautiful now. And there was a balcony. And so after the function and, you know, the initial arati and all that, Prabhupada was throwing roses from this little tiny platform, balcony, and into the temple room, into the huge crowd. It was just jam-packed. And I happened to be behind him, and he motioned to me to pick him up. So I picked up Srila Prabhupada. I wasn't able to massage his feet, but I was able to pick him up. Doesn't need to really clap. It was an interesting. We met with Prabhupada in his room. I remember one pandit came. He was a learned scholar, but he, why do you put on tilak from this way, not from that way? Prabhupada said, well, at least they're putting on tilak. At least they're putting on tilak. And anyway, it was tremendous. But there was a regrettable incident. I shouldn't mention it. No, it's a small thing, but we had a nice cook. Marwari cook. Prabhupada approved of, you know, Brahmin cooks. Now we hire everybody. But Prabhupada, you know, was an issue because only Brahmins could cook for the deities. Twice initiated in ISKCON Brahmins. Not by birth Brahmin, but he approved of the by birth Brahmins. And this guy, for a small group of people, the prasad was excellent. But the regrettable thing was they asked him to cook halva for hundreds and hundreds of people. He wasn't that type of a cook. And it was horrible. Prabhupada got really angry. And they sacked him off. And then, you know, the quality of the prasad went down in Hyderabad. Later on, when Yogesh Chandra came, we were talking about this. Then the quality went up again. It was Western style. Good quality. Boy, so many people came. One thing I remember. One big government officer brought his daughter to meet Prabhupada. And we were sitting there and she had painted a picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And the painting was not very good. And Prabhupada told them. He didn't pull a punch. So, you know, sometimes Prabhupada treated people with kid gloves. As the saying goes in English, that he was very gentle. But sometimes Prabhupada was tough. Yeah. Soft as a rose and hard as a thunderbolt. At times. like with Satsvarup Maharaj, it was, you know, he wrote about it in his books, where he, Prabhupada was heavy with it. He was very chastising. And but there were others where, you know, Prabhupada treated them like little children. So, little glimpse of, I think the half an hour is over. And so, some of my remembrances. Coming to India was lucky, so I could get Prabhupada's association many times in many places. There were people that had much more association. Even Maharaj had the personal for months and months. And at the end, and Prabhupada had special affection. Well, I also read part of the Ocean of Mercy book. I unfortunately haven't finished it yet, but it's a great book. And it's an only Prabhupada book, not a me book. But some personal history, knowing these things, is also, you know, interesting and important. Everyone has their own experience. Really? Oh, yeah. Tamal Krishna Maharaj's brother is a devotee. He's really a nice person. I don't know him that well, but he's still active, right? Okay. Whatever little service I could render by remembering these pastimes of Prabhupada, I offer to all of you. Actually, whenever somebody praises me, I remember Krishna Das Kaviraj's, right? I'm more fallen. I don't remember the Bengali. Muise Papish. Right? I'm more sinful than Jagai and Mada. And more, what is it? What's the, you don't remember the beginning, Mahana? I have no good qualities, but anyway, just trying to be a humble servant. I'm not so humble also. But trying to do some service for the institution and
I just briefly mentioned about Bashaghosh Prabhu at the beginning of his presentation. But one remarkable thing actually which you would not really see today is Bashaghosh Prabhu's commitment to Vedic culture. And when I stated that he is the upholder of Vedic culture, most probably more than anyone of us, because he really lives it, and whenever he sees any discrepancy to or minimization of Vedic culture, he really stands up in protest, and that is really, really remarkable. And in order to show his commitment to the Vedic culture, Bashaghosh Prabhu mastered Sanskrit, Hindi, Gujarati. Like, when Bashaghosh Prabhu speaks Hindi, I mean, if you don't see him speaking, then you would think that someone whose Hindi language is his mother tongue is speaking. Of course, he looks like an Indian also, very high-class Indian. Sort of aristocratic Indian from some royal family. Somebody told me that he also looks like Narendra Modi. So, Bashaghosh Prabhu was a very close friend and very dear friend of ours. Acharya Sankirtananda Prabhu is going to recite some Vedic mantras now. Thank you so much. This mantra will be recited together, jointly they will recite Acharya Sankirtananda Prabhu and Acharya Bashaghosh Prabhu.
Asmakam Mahatsvabhagyam Asmakam पवित्रे भारते वर्षे भगवतः कृष्णस्य साक्षात जगद्गुरु रूपेण ये प्रचारका भगवत्पादा प्रभुपादा तेषां कृपया वयम अत्र किंचित मानव जन्म धन्यम कर्तुम आगता अहम धन्योस्मि उपकृतोस्मि भगवतः श्वासभूतं वेदं किंचित इदानीं भगवच्चरण कमलेषु निवेदयामि मम सर्वान् दोषान् क्षमत्वम्।
Oh.
padam prashtam matranim chayat bhavet tat sarvam chamyatam deva prasida parameshwara. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
If you come in,
idam ekam ashcharyam asti, adbhutam ashcharyam, yat अस्मिन् जगति अस्मिन् ब्रह्मांडे अस्मिन् घोरे कलियुगे अस्मिन् अत्यंतम् दुःखमये विपरीते जगति वेद धर्मस्य महति ग्लानिर्यदा जायते तदा भगवान् अवतरति इति शास्त्रेषु वर्णितम्. तत् कदा भविष्यति कल्कि अवतारा इति वयम् आशास्महे, किन्तु प्रत्यक्षम् अन्धेनापि द्रष्टुं शक्यते. इवन् ब्लाइंड कैन सी, अन्धेनापि द्रष्टुं शक्यते यत् अस्मिन् जगति सम्पूर्णे यूरोपे, सम्पूर्णे अमेरिका खंडे, संपूर्णे रशिया देशे, संपूर्णे जगति नाना देशेषु यदि एकम किमपि वैदिकं धर्मं कोऽपि शिक्षितवान्, एकः आचार्यः वृद्धावस्थायाम् अत्यंतं केवलं भगवत्परेण केवलं स्वकीय सत् श्रद्धया एकमात्रं लक्ष्यं जीवनस्य यत् सर्वे कृष्णभक्ता भवेत्. अस्मिन् जगति सर्वे कृष्णस्य भक्तिं कुर्युः, वेदधर्मं परराष्ट्रमधर्मम् अस्मिन् लोके स्थापयेयुः इति कस्यचित् इच्छा. स एक एव प्रभुपादाः. अत्र सन्देहो नास्ति, अत्र देशमात्रं सन्देहो नास्ति. मम जीवने यद्यपि अहम् अल्प अवस्था प्राप्ता हैदराबादे नामपल्ली मन्दिरस्य उद्घाटने अहं लघुबालः अहमपि, तत्र मुरलीधरशास्त्रिणा वेदपाठार्थम् आगतः, रामचन्द्र जोशी अपि आगतः, अहं तु अल्पज्ञ, किन्तु ते माम् आनीतवन्तः तत्र आगच्छामः, किञ्चित् दक्षिणा प्राप्यते इति माम् उक्तवन्तः. तत्र मन्दिरे उपरिष्टात् बाल्करी यद् उक्तवन्तः, प्रभुपादाः आसन्, किन्तु मम सौभाग्यं तथा अधस्तात् उपविश्य पारायणे मग्नः वेदपाठस्य, उपरि दृष्टवान् तथा अहं स्मरामि इदानीं, तद् मम सौभाग्यम्. पुनश्च यदि भक्ति वर्धनीया तर्हि प्रभुपादानाम् आदेशानाम् अक्षरशः पालनं कर्तव्यम्. यथा मम प्रियाः वासुदोषप्रभवः पुनः पुनः वदन्ति यत् यत्र कुत्रापि गच्छन्ति ते एकमेव वदन्ति यत् कृपया डोण्ट् लीव् युर् कल्चर् इति वदन्ति. यथा प्रभुपादाः अवदन् ते तादृशाः, अहम् अस्मिन् जगति पूर्वजन्मनि जन्मजन्मनि तेषां प्रातः इति अहं मन्ये. वासुदोषः मम ज्येष्ठः, ते ज्येष्ठाः वर्तन्ते, आयुषि आयुषि अहं कनिष्ठः, किन्तु तेषां स्नेहः न अद्य प्रथमदिनं, त्रिंशद्वर्षाणि अधिकानि भविष्यति, त्रिंशद्वर्षाणि अधिकानि. तेषां पुत्राः इदानीं पौत्राः दौहित्राः, पौत्रः दौहित्राः, अतः मम इदं जीवनं पौत्रीय. यथा शास्त्रेषु एकं वचनमस्ति, तृणादपि सुनीचेन तरोरिव सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीयस्तः सदा हरिः. अतः वयं सर्वे अस्माकं సద్గురునాం భక్తిచారు మహారాజానాం అత్యంతం అధమరణా అధమరణానామరిం ఇంజట్టి అత అహం పూర్వం పునః పునః ప్రార్థయే యత్ వయం సర్వే శ్రద్ధయా భగవన్నామస్మరణం అవశ్యం పునః పునః భగవన్నామస్మరణం అలౌ నాస్తేవ 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 గతిరన్యథా తేన నామస్మరణే ఒక నాశనం ధర్మస్య రక్షణ. నామస్మరణం క్రియతే తర్హి అవశ్యమే అస్మాకం బలం వర్ధతే అత్యంతం బలం వర్ధతే. అత అన్యత్ కిమపి న వదామి కేవలం మమ దోషా కథం అహం మాధ్యేయం మమ దోషానాం సర్వేషాం భక్తానాం పురతః క్షమాం యాచే ఇది పునః పునః ఈదృశ అవసరాలభ్యేత మహారాజానాం ఆయు శతాయు తథోపి అధికం ఏక వేదమంత్రో వర్తతే జీవేమ శరదశతం శృణుయామ శరదశతం ప్రప్రవామ శరదశతమీనాశ్యామ శరదశతం భూయశ్చ శరదశతాత్ పునశ్చ శరదోపి శతాత్ శరదోపి అధికం స్వస్థం ఆరోగ్యమయం జీవనం భూయా ఇది వయం సర్వే భక్తాః సశ్రద్ధం భగవంతం శ్రీకృష్ణం ప్రార్థయామహే జగద్గురు భగవత్పాదాన్ ప్రార్థయామహే అస్మాకాం అస్మాకం సర్వాన్ దోషాన్ క్షమత్వం ఓం స్వస్తి ఓం స్వస్తి.
Acharya Sankirtananda Prabhu ki, he very wonderfully glorified Srila Prabhupada. How did you like his chanting of the Veda mantras? Ashutosh Prabhu, thank you very much. And he just glorified Srila Prabhupada that in this very, very degraded age of Kali, when generally Krishna actually comes to deliver the fallen souls, but it's very surprising that how Srila Prabhupada actually came and spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, in America, in Europe, in Russia, in Australia, in Africa, in all of these places Krishna consciousness movement has spread. And obviously this has happened by the mercy of the Supreme Personality. So in this way he glorified Srila Prabhupada, and he also recalled about, as Ashutosh Prabhu mentioned, about the inauguration of the Hyderabad temple. At that time he was a little boy, and two very exalted Sanskrit scholars were invited there to recite Vedic mantras. And he was also asked by them, you come, at least you come for some dakshina. If you come there, you'll get some donation. So he went there, and he could not come close to Srila Prabhupada as such, but he saw Prabhupada up there on the balcony and throwing those rose flowers, as Ashutosh Prabhu mentioned. He just looked up at Srila Prabhupada, and that's the only mercy, or that's the only association that he had of Srila Prabhupada, and even for that he considers himself to be very, very fortunate. And at the end he just pointed out that you all are so fortunate that you have got exposed to this culture, the Vedic culture, which Srila Prabhupada himself also said that uphold that culture, maintain that culture, because that is the culture of civilized human society. So uphold this culture by practicing it, by accepting it wholeheartedly. So once again I thank Acharya Sankirtananda Prabhu. Go Premanande Hare. So we heard from two of Srila Prabhupada's disciples who had quite a lot of association of Srila Prabhupada, I would say, because as Ashutosh Prabhu mentioned, that he didn't get to see Srila Prabhupada come to Srila Prabhupada in America. Only because of he came to India that he could get so much of association. And that was the fact, actually. That in America, the devotees, though, although our movement was started in America, and promoted by most of the American devotees, but many of those devotees did not really have much of a Srila Prabhupada association. So that way we can see that both Udayananda Prabhu and Bhasha Ghosh Prabhu have been very fortunate to have so much of Srila Prabhupada association. And so we heard from Prabhupada's disciple. Now we will hear from Srila Prabhupada's grand disciple, Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj. His Holiness Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj. Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj is a disciple of Kamalakrishna Maharaj, and he had been very, very sincerely involved in ISKCON activities from the time he actually joined. So I remember, I actually had a lot of his association. Both of us used to be in Calcutta, and he was a young brahmachari. Initially he was in Vrindavan, and then Bhavananda Prabhu actually brought him to Calcutta, and he was a very sincere and effective, qualified preacher. And recently, about 4 years back, he put some notes. Oh, 8 years. Time really flies. Yeah. Sannas. What I was thinking is, he got sannas about 14 years ago, but recently he has become an initiated spiritual master. That's what I'm mixing up. So that has been about 4 years. 9 years initiated spiritual master. Wonderful. So, His Holiness Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj speech. Please,
Namaste Sarasvati Devi Jagadambika Sarvadevi Nirvishesha Shunyavada Tasya Pravesha Sanchagara Tarunyascha Kripa Sindhu Pratitanam Paramitra Vaishnavebhyo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Today we are very much fortunate to be here to glorify Srila Prabhupada of Pamela Temple of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And actually, I would ask, after my dhanuka pranam, to His Holiness Bhakti Swami Maharaj, who has actually arranged this festival to glorify Srila Prabhupada. Though we know that Maharaj Dasala ceremony is going to be held tomorrow, but still Maharaj, as a dedicated follower of Srila Prabhupada and very dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he has dedicated this Gospel of Festival to glorify Srila Prabhupada. So that's why we are very, very grateful and the Lotus Feet of Maharaj that he has given us the opportunity to glorify Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, who is our founder Acharya and our grand spiritual master, he has actually come from the spiritual world. He is not an ordinary living entity who has become an Acharya and propagated Krishna consciousness. He is from spiritual world, and this was the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted that Puthimite Asyatra Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachara Haile Maramana. And that prediction came through Srila Prabhupada, when Srila Prabhupada came to this material world and got direct order from his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to propagate Krishna consciousness in English language, in the English-speaking world. Srila Prabhupada, though initially he did not take it so seriously, but later on, actually, Krishna forced him to come out from household of life and dedicate his life for the service of Krishna. So Krishna actually chose him to do this work, to propagate Krishna consciousness all over the world. And we all know that how much trouble Srila Prabhupada had to undergo to preach this Krishna consciousness movement. And because of that, now this Krishna consciousness movement has become a mass movement. This is actually unprecedented in the history of India or in the preaching of all religions. That though today morning Maharaj was speaking about Buddhism, Islam and Christianity, and even had to speak of these religions, even in our Vaishnava religion, Vaishnava Dharma, there are so many acharyas, those who are preaching in India, and they were preaching Vaishnavism and making devotees, but they have not gone to every person, each and every person, to make them a Vaishnava. Specifically, we see some acharyas, they have preferred to initiate only Brahmins, or some of them, they have initiated the Shudras, but that preaching of Vaishnavism had never become a mass movement. But Srila Prabhupada, by the order of his Guru Maharaj, he preached in the Western world and he preached to each and every individual. And he wanted to give his Krishna consciousness to all the following conditioned souls of the saints. And as a result, now we have got the opportunity to be part of this movement and get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all our previous acharyas. So Srila Prabhupada, through this movement, teaching this Krishna consciousness, he established so many temples. In his lifetime, he established 108 temples, and now Krishna has more than 650 temples all around the world. So through this preaching, so Prabhupada actually established the embassies of the spiritual world. So Prabhupada was an emissary of the spiritual world, and he established so many embassies all over the world to propagate this Krishna consciousness. So all of our temples, they are not just temples. Like in India, we find so many temples. In every village, and in cities, everywhere we find temples. Sometimes Indian people, they ask us that when in India we have so many temples, and so many temples are being neglected, so why ISKCON is building more and more temples? ISKCON should actually take care of the old temples. But our temples, they are not just ordinary temples. They are actually teaching this Krishna consciousness. This is actually a school of teaching this Vedic religion. This is a school of teaching this Krishna consciousness to mass of people. That's why our temples, they are not just ordinary temples. They are teaching Krishna consciousness how to do bhakti, how to perform devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God. And not only our temples are teaching Krishna consciousness, the devotees in the temple, they are actually setting the best examples how to perform devotional service to Krishna. So this is actually the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have been taught devotional service to Krishna. And one specific thing I remember, that in the history, whenever there is devotion word comes, in Sanskrit it is called bhakti, and it has always been translated as devotion. But for the first time, Srila Prabhupada translated this bhakti as devotional service. So Prabhupada gave importance to devotional service. So when we speak of devotion, many people, they do devotion in their own way, and they don't really understand what it actually means. According to scriptures, devotion means we have to engage all our senses. Rishikena Ishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Ruchya. That when we serve Krishna with all our senses, that is the real bhakti. So Prabhupada actually explained this bhakti into devotional service. That's why so Prabhupada is so important for us, that he gave us real bhakti by which we can attend the mercy of Krishna. We can attend this Krishna consciousness. So we are very, very grateful to Srila Prabhupada, that if Prabhupada would have not come, he would have not preached this Krishna consciousness all over the world, then what would have been? All of us. Now we are sitting here trying to glorify Prabhupada, but without his mercy, we would have been nowhere. So this is actually real Acharya who propagated this Krishna consciousness and fulfilled the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in this age of Kali to give love of Krishna for the holy name of the Lord. And those Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached all over India, and whomever he saw, He chanted Hare Krishna, gave this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and that person was transferred. And he got the love of Godhead. So in that way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached that the person who heard from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became very ecstatic in love of Godhead, and when he went to his village, and he chanted in his village, those who heard from that person, they also became ecstatic in love of Godhead. In that way, this love of Godhead spread all over India. And that same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada also propagated this Krishna consciousness through his chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And that chanting also encouraged everyone to take up, and through that chanting, we are also getting access to the love of God. So this is Srila Prabhupada's mercy, that he is also giving the same love of Godhead to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Pagatan. By his preaching, that's how we are all eternally indebted at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And the contribution Srila Prabhupada gave to the whole world, we cannot actually repay that contribution of Srila Prabhupada. That's only on this occasion we can pray to Srila Prabhupada to give us His mercy that we can be engaged in His mission service. Srila Prabhupada made this mission, this society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to propagate Krishna Consciousness all over the world. And the hardship Srila Prabhupada took, we cannot even imagine how Srila Prabhupada did all these things with those hardships. Of course, we know he was empowered by Lord Krishna. That's why he took up all these hardships to propagate Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada, out of his causeless mercy, He has given this Krishna consciousness to us, and we pray at His lotus feet that Srila Prabhupada should empower us to propagate this Krishna consciousness and become an active member of His society. In that way, we can actually serve Srila Prabhupada and make Him happy. Like Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they were all telling how Prabhupada was very fond of book distribution, and they were all dedicated to this service of book distribution. And the same order is coming through them to us, that actually if we want to increase this Krishna consciousness movement, if we want to expand this Krishna consciousness movement, then we have to also distribute Srila Prabhupada's books more and more, and in that way we can actually bring more and more conditioned souls to the lotus feet of Prabhupada, and in that way actually deliver the fallen conditioned souls of this age and make Srila Prabhupada happy. So as far as my experience with Srila Prabhupada is concerned, though, like all of you, I was also very unfortunate to see Srila Prabhupada, but that time when Prabhupada was present, though I was present also, but I had no opportunity to see Srila Prabhupada, but I had heard about Prabhupada. When there was a problem in Mayapur, that time I was studying in Vishwavati University, Shantiniketan. So that thing came out in the newspaper. So for the first time I heard about ISKCON and Prabhupada. So apart from that bad news, I developed a desire to go to Mayapur and see Mayapur that time. But later on, actually that time when I was studying in Vishwanatha University, that time Prabhupada went to Bhuvaneswar. And Bhuvaneswar temple's foundation stone was laid in 77. And I was not in Odisha that time. So I could not get that opportunity to see Srila Prabhupada. And after that, when I came back to Odisha, I see some devotees in Puri. The ladies who wear this saris and the gents who wear dhoti and kurta. I was very surprised to see them, that how these Westerners were wearing this Indian clothes. But later on, there was an Eastern program that maybe in 79 or 80, I don't remember exactly. There was an Eastern program in Puri, and I was there in Puri. I was serving in Puri College. So, which one of my colleagues were going to see that program, and we are very much impressed by seeing the Eastern program, devotees were chanting and dancing. And then, one Maharaj gave a very nice lecture on Bhagavad Gita, and later on I found out he was Swajagata Goswami Maharaj. So, I was reading Gita from my very childhood, but I was not able to understand. So when Jayadatma Maharaj gave that lecture, I was very curious to know that how these Westerners who speak from Bhagavad Gita. But when I heard, then I was very much impressed. So I developed some favorable attitude towards Eastern at that time. Then I also saw the film, World of Hare Krishna. All Eastern activities were there. So I was very much impressed. But I had never read Prabhupada's books at that time. So that time I wanted to join this movement, but then I went to the stall where one devotee was standing. I asked him that how can I join your movement? Then he told me about Lighthouse, but I wanted to join full time. So he told about Lighthouse. So anyway, so later on, in 81, when I came to Vrindavan to become a sadhu, by that time I had never read Prabhupada's books. But before that I was going to different spiritual organizations because I had some inclination to spiritual activities. Though I was going to different organizations, I was reading their literatures, but I was never impressed by them. My criteria to judge them was that none of them was speaking about Krishna. None of them were speaking on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavata. That's why I was never impressed by them. But when I came to Vrindavan to become a sadhu, then I came to Eastern temple and I was very much impressed by the deities there, and then I wanted to join, and then I read this magazine, Back to Godhead, there in the temple room, and where there is lecture of Sri Prabhupada about Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, pictures of Krishna, and at the end, four regulatory principles. So I became very much impressed. But still, I have not developed any relationship with Prabhupada. I joined there in Vrindavan. I became very impressed with this. And at least in this organization, some regulations are there, and worship of Krishna is there, and they are following Gita and Bhagavad. That was my criteria to judge. So I was very much impressed. But then, when I joined, I got the service in Prabhupada's quarters. And when I was cleaning Prabhupada's quarters, so Prabhupada's lecture was going on. For the first time, I had Prabhupada's lectures. And Prabhupada's lectures were so straightforward. And that was very commanding lecture. And that was entering right into my heart. Because I was very skeptical about the sadhus in childhood. Because I had seen so many sadhus, those who cheat others. So that's why I would never surrender to a sadhu very easily. But when I had Prabhupada's lecture, then my heart started melting. That I thought, this person is actually real sadhu. And then I took Prabhupada's books from the library, from Prabhupada's quarters. Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, and I started reading. And when I started reading of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, before I was reading Bhagavad Gita, from my very childhood I was reading, but I was not able to understand Bhagavad Gita. But when I read Prabhupada's Gita, then everything was so crystal clear. So in that way I developed a personal relationship with Prabhupada, though I did not see him. I was not able to see him personally when he was present in his physical form. But just through the association of Prabhupada's lecture and Prabhupada's books and the service I got in Prabhupada's quarters, through that I developed a natural relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And in that way, actually Prabhupada became my guiding force. And all the time I was remembering Srila Prabhupada, that how Prabhupada, then I later on read about Prabhupada's Lilamrita and came to know Prabhupada had taken so much hardship to establish this Krishna consciousness movement. So actually I became very much attached to Srila Prabhupada. I always used to think whenever some hardship comes in due course of my service to Srila Prabhupada, then I always used to remember the hardship Srila Prabhupada underwent to establish this Krishna consciousness movement. Then I used to think that Srila Prabhupada took so much hardship, then what is this hardship to me? So that Prabhupada became my inspiring force. And that inspiring force is actually taking me ahead. Whenever any difficulty coming in spiritual life, actually I always think of Srila Prabhupada and also his disciples. So Prabhupada's disciples are also not very ordinary. So Prabhupada used to say, in that my Guru Maharaj sent all of you to his disciples. So Prabhupada used to say that my Guru Maharaj sent all of you to assist me to propagate this Krishna consciousness in the Western world. So Prabhupada's disciples, they are actually sent by Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They were sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why Prabhupada was able to spread this Krishna consciousness movement within a very short period throughout the world. That's why all these Prabhupada disciples, they are also a driving force. They are actually imbibed. They have imbibed the same mood of Srila Prabhupada, and they are also giving us the same mood what Prabhupada used to give to them. So in that way, we are actually getting association of Srila Prabhupada through Srila Prabhupada's disciples. So on this occasion, I pray at the lotus feet of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada and at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada to give us mercy and engage us in Srila Prabhupada's mission service so we can make our life perfect. Hare Krishna.
His Holiness Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for presenting it. Actually, it's very important for us also to hear from Prabhupada's grand disciples, you know, how they see Srila Prabhupada. Because that perception is, of course, different from ours. And thank you so much, Maharaj. And the way systematically, you know, you your spiritual life unfolded. That was very interesting to hear. Thank you. We'll go on a little longer. Now I request His Holiness Bhakti Prem Maharaj.
Arriba!
Bhakti Prem Maharaj has been involved in ISKCON since the early 90s, and he had been very instrumental in supporting this movement. He was in Mayapur. He is actually a doctor by profession, but he gave up his career to pursue his spiritual life. And since this project started in Ujjain, Maharaj came to assist me, and he had been very, very instrumental in developing this project here. And people speak about the atmosphere of this temple and the beautiful attitude of the devotees here. And I consider that that credit actually goes to him, because he himself is such a wonderful example that his service attitude, his way he takes care of the devotees, the way he guides them, and like for example every morning he sits with the devotees and chants the holy name sitting in the temple. And like he was a temple president, but he was serving. That was an unusual attitude. Like when somebody gets into a position, naturally he expects others to do the rather simple outer services. But Maharaj had been very exemplary, and that is why the devotees here, especially the brahmacharis and the householders here, has a lot of respect for Maharaj, they feel. And now that he is a sannyasi, he is traveling and preaching. And I've seen wherever he goes, devotees want him to come back. And that is the sign of a good preacher and a good example in devotee. Thank you very much. So, one thing also I notice, in my presence Maharaj doesn't want to speak. But now that you are a sannyasi, you have to speak. Don't consider my presence here. Just speak from your heart. Whatever comes to your heart, whatever is your feelings towards your Prabhupada, however way you feel your gratitude to your Srila Prabhupada,
I have one humble request, because devotees and Mayapati are watching to hear from you. We can continue tomorrow, I can
speak. Well, yeah, I thought of it. I'll speak tomorrow. Today, after your speech, we will conclude for today's program, morning program. I'll speak.
नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण कृष्णाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी नामे नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी
నిర్విశేషన్న వాదం పశ్చాత్తం శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య గోవిందానంద శ్యాద్వైత గదాధర శివాచార్య హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరి హరే రామ 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 హరే. Maharaj, he prepared me for Dhun Hanuman as loved by the devotees throughout the world because they are loved by Krishna and Ramchandra. So throughout the world I am getting Sunas love as Guru Mahal loves me. And Guru Mahal mercifully accept my service. Otherwise I know my past life by the way. Srila Prabhupada's Holy Vision, Prabhupada has given so many things. I limited you, you cannot finish by saying that. One of the important things is Prabhupada allowed us to glorify him. Like in Vaishnava ceremony, yes. If we have not heard this type of thing from previous authorities, right, Vaishnava offering, and nobody wants to hear the glorification, but Prabhupada allowed us to glorify him for our glorification. And Srila Guru Maharaj also, so many times with so much importance, right of him. And he did not allow anyone to speak if he has not written, even written of him. And we must give so much importance for writing of him because Prabhupada's one. So I want to give the thanks to Guru Maharaj. Though in 365 days you glorify Srila Prabhupada, you cannot finish. At least you have started this Indian festival to glorify Srila Prabhupada. So, this year I have written one offering, so I want to read here. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances and to the dust of your divine lotus feet. All glories to your divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, please accept my grateful greetings on this most auspicious occasion of your Vaishnava. There is no limit to mention what you have given to this world, and there is no way to repay that for you. All we can do on this divine occasion is hold our hands and bow down to your lotus feet, begging empowerment to follow your instructions. Recently, I came across an English module which mentioned various inspiring stories named as the Movers and Shakers. As I read that, I immediately remembered about your divine grace. You are the real mover to move the whole world with your selfless compassion, and the real shaker who shook the whole materialistic civilization. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for being the perfect shaker for all the fallen souls like us. On the instruction of your beloved spiritual master, you wrote all your writings in English. Even on your Sunas ceremony, which was mostly attended by local Brajavasis who are Hindi and Bengali speaking, you chose to speak in English as it was the instruction of your spiritual master. However, it is said that a person can open his heart abusively in his native language, although no one can bind you in any material designation, but you choose Bengali language when you desire to reveal your heart. When you were in separation from your spiritual master, you wrote a very special object of songs in Bengali named Biraha Astakam. There you address your Guru Maharaj at the last by writing
তোমার বিরহে প্রভু বিদয় বিদয়, বিরহ বেদনা কিছু প্রকাশ অভাব। It reflects a glimpse of your Sakta Vaishnava, whose place in the Simarshan of the spiritual master. Later on, the Dashpuja of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wrote another octave of songs, Vashishtashtra. There he described the true mood of your Guru Maharaj and requested all your godfathers to unite together to fulfill his dream. We all know how you are alone in Sri Vrindavan Dham. You were going to the West. At that time, he composed another masterpiece of yours, praying to Krishna, Vrindavane Bhajan. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for letting us see a glimpse of your pure love for Guru and Krishna through these songs. We all can see, Srila Prabhupada, that there is no comparison to you in building Krishna and broadcasting Krishna's message of Bhagavad Gita. Today your Bhagavad Gita as it is has transformed millions of hearts and made them Vaishnavas. However, your Gita Gan, the poetic translation of all Bhagavad Gita in Bengali, is not only a mere translation, but it includes your purport as well, so that even a layman can understand the most confidential key of knowledge, Bhagavad Gita. That too you did in the form of a poem which we can easily see and learn. Srila Prabhupada, all the devotees in your glorious ISKCON love the songs which he wrote in Jaladu, Markini Bhagavad Dharma, and Krishna Dharapunna Hare Bhara. The songs reflect your compassionate mood to the conditioned souls of this world. He wrote in Markini Bhagavad Dharma, Tomar Ichchai Shab Hoy Maya Vash, Tomar Ichchai Nash Maya Parash. In your all these things, you never said that it is because of Krishna that the souls came under the influence of Maya. Rather, he called the rebellious souls of this world as fools and rascals. However, these lines show your love for them. It is your personal experience with Krishna, just like a mother, whose child is spoiled in the wrong association. Although, in reality, it was child's own fault. Criticize the father for letting the child go on the wrong path in order to invoke father's affection on child. In the same way, you are pleading to Krishna on behalf of all the conditioned souls. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, you are the ever-Vaivishya for all of us. No one else can do it unless he has genuine love for the person. On this most auspicious day of your divine appearance, I beg in your divine lotus feet that please let your songs be broadcasted in the whole world. You have given everything to the devotees of ISKCON in your books, teachings, lectures, etc. Now please also allow the whole world to take benefit from these incredible songs of yours. Let these songs become famous all over the planet and your ever-increasing glories become more visible to us. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for saving the whole world, including my lonely self. Eternal servant of the servants, Bhakti Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you Maharaj. A very nice offering. Actually, the real dedication is shown by one's service. That is the real proof of one's commitment and one's devotion. But still, through your service, you have always shown how much you love Srila Prabhupada, how committed you are to Srila Prabhupada, and how you are dedicated to his mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, the way you take care of the devotees is very exemplary, and your offering was very nice. Thank you very much. So we'll conclude the morning session now. So the afternoon session will be, there's going to be a Harinam. This is the week of holy name. The Harinam Sankirtan, the world holy name week. So, and tomorrow is the final day of the world Harinam week. So today in the afternoon, the devotees, we all are requesting you to come to the hall, the Sankirtan in the city of Ujjain. Thank you all very much. Now go, take prasad. Today is Ekadasi, so it will be, I was about to say Ekadasi prasad, of course it's an Ekadasi prasad, but I feel that it's going to be an Ekadasi feast. So, thank you very much. Now you will go and honor Krishna prasad. Go, Premana. Hari, Hari. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada Memorial Festival ki. Go, Premanande.